Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Okay, so thank you so much for staying with us. So we continue our series on tax matters where we look at all things tax related. I know it's never a nice conversation, but it has to be had. So please bear with us. But what's more important is that I want to save you a little bit of money, right, from getting yourself into trouble, number one. Number two, if you get some things right, you probably don't need an expert. I mean, unless you've got really big problems. So it's a good time for you to take advantage of this particular moment. And what you can do, you can send in your questions, any questions. It doesn't have to be what we're speaking about at the moment, but it has to be a tax issue. So you can send your questions on 086-000-0959. Or you can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. This is a good time to do just that. So we're picking up our conversation with the CEO at NetVest, Busisiwe Mdletshe, as we pick up from last week. Thank you so much for speaking to us, Busisiwe, and good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamelo, and good evening to the listeners.
You know, you are the bearer of, I think, sometimes people think are bad news. I want to give you a good name and say, no, not everything you say is bad. you're not always going to be here to give us bad news and hurt our feelings because, you know, when someone takes money away from you, it's never a nice thing. But I want us to go back to where we left it last week. And if we can just maybe track back to that conversation last week, James got a letter from SARS telling him that he was owing SARS however amount of money he was owing SARS. And we had started having a look at the scenarios where he probably didn't have the money and the kind of exemptions or options that SARS allows for someone like that who was caught unawares and is now in trouble with SARS. So we had a whole list of options that he had in terms of making arrangements. What if James gets to a point where he has signed an agreement with SARS to say, okay, I will pay you X amount each month. And maybe he starts month one, month two, month three, month four, he skips a payment. What is going to be happening then?
It would be a real challenge for him, Pamelo, particularly because he would have signed a binding document. You know, the payment arrangement is a legal document. Mm-hmm. So once you've signed it, the moment you are in breach of that document, it means, or that agreement rather, it means now SARS will have to cancel everything that we had agreed on. And once they cancel it, it means now they will start demanding the entire debt in full. So that's the downside of missing an installment. And they don't even look at the fact that James would have paid for three consecutive months and now he missed just one payment. They would say, because everything is system-driven, so the system, let's say James had perhaps said he's committing to pay on the 30th of every month. And comes the 30th, the system is expecting payment. If there's no payment that is received, it will automatically cancel the arrangement. Now, when it's cancelled and they demand everything in full, now it means he's in bad books again because he's no longer compliant. Remember we said the moment you enter into a payment arrangement, even if you haven't paid the debt in full, but you would immediately get a tax clearance certificate, meaning you can continue trading or you can continue pursuing clients or new clients. Mm. But now in this case, he won't be able to do that anymore because now he's in the red, you know, when you go to e-filing, he's no longer compliant. Mm.
What other things can happen? We are speaking of the fact that he's not compliant, but you do find a scenario where someone says, well, my bank account was frozen, you know, or if it's somebody who's employed, well, I didn't get a salary. It was all taken by SARS. What's possible? Would you know in advance it's going to happen? Let's say the freezing of your account.
So by law, you know, there's a tax act called Tax Administration Act. So there's a specific section, section 179. It actually allows SARS to appoint a person that is holding money or your money on your behalf to actually pay that money over to SARS. So those would be people like maybe your employer or your customers or your bank. So in the, like, for example, now James missed that fourth installment. Mm. So the entire debt now is demanded in full. Mm. So what SARS did in this case, they wrote to the bank, where James banks. They wrote to that bank. They said, James Tshabalala owes us money. You need to pay us over. Pay us that. Whatever that he has in his account, as long as we can cover the debt that he has with us. Now, unfortunately, because of what Section 179 prescribes, the bank cannot ignore that instruction from SARS. They will have to pay it over to SARS. Now, in this case, they did not only pay what was in the account, but SARS also instructed the bank to freeze the account because they are saying, if you cannot pay us, it means you are not generating any income, you know, so why must you have this account active? Because nobody is paying you, because had people been paying you, you would have paid us. That's a way of also trying to get the taxpayer to come to SARS, because remember, James has his clients knowing his bank account.
He's active.
So, yes, and they would want to pay into that bank account. Now, if they try to pay, the payments bounce. And also some of the clients, you know, when you encounter those kind of challenges, they start looking at you as if you are dodgy, you know, what's wrong with you? And then they don't want to work with you. So it is damaging in terms of, you know, your reputation. So therefore, it forces James to go to SARS and, you know, apply for a new payment arrangement so that at least the account is no longer is active.
So the thing here that's important is that your employer, the bank cannot, and if, in fact they'll be penalized if they didn't comply, and SARS does not need to go to court to get this account frozen, or to at least if it's a case of a salary, they don't need to go to court to get your money from your employer.
They don't need a court order. You know, it's called appointment of agent, you know. So SARS has all the powers to appoint an agent. You know, sometimes they would appoint, I've seen, especially people who have clients that are government, because that's when it's easier, because you would have gotten or awarded a tender. Now, when you're awarded a tender, it's something that is easy for SARS to find out. Then they go straight to that department that said, awarded you a tender, and say, don't pay this person. Now, can you imagine, in James' case, he's sitting, it's the end of the month, he needs to pay salaries. Mm-hmm. You know, he needs to buy fuel so that, because he's running a logistics company, he needs to buy fuel so that he could do more deliveries. So now he can't buy fuel. And since he cannot do deliveries, it means he's no longer generating revenue. So it's a problem for him. And again, for him to recover from this situation, what I've seen in the past, what people would do is to go to SARS and pay at least a small lump sum just to show that, you know, you had defaulted,
the right
not
intentions.
Because,
yeah.
Yes, yeah. But it's because somebody else maybe had not paid you in time. Now, the question should be now, how are you going to raise that small lump sum if your bank account has been frozen?
So in the event that what you're owing is probably more than maybe your salary or what's currently in your account, can they take it all? In other words, and leave you with nothing? Not necessarily the installment that you had promised that you had missed.
Definitely, they can, because now the entire amount that is reflected as the balance owing in your statement of account is the one that they are demanding. You know, they're no longer demanding, because remember that payment arrangement fell off, that agreement is no longer in place. So now they want the full amount. And again, they don't know your needs, because you would not have communicated with SARS, because had James known that by the end of the month, when he was expected to pay that installment, he would not have money. He would have communicated with SARS up front so that SARS could revise maybe the payment arrangement on the system. Now, the fact that he never communicated, now SARS doesn't know of his situation. So when they go to the bank, they're just going there to snatch whatever that is there, as long as it's enough for him to settle his debt. So sometimes you might find that someone like James, maybe in his bank account, he had only 50,000 rands and he's owing 100,000. So they will only take that 50 because that's the only thing that's available, and then they come back the following month or whenever he has money in the account. And also the bank, what they do with the bank keeps this, I would call it snatching, you know, active.
Open.
To say, because we, yes, to say, we have received an instruction from the bank. They wanted 100,000 rands from you, but they could only snatch half. So whenever you deposit money or whenever there are funds again into your account, in your account, so they'll come back and we'll have to give them whatever they want.
What if?
And also the bank cannot ask SARS how much is this person owing. They just follow the instruction. But luckily SARS would not take more than what
they need
is shown in the statement of account.
What if they don't find that money? Truly, it's not there. What then?
Yeah, so that happens a lot, because you know what people would do? They would change the bank account at the moment, because sometimes you find that SARS will come, you know, I don't know if they'll be testing if the account is active or what. So you find that you owe 100,000 rands, they come and take 3,000 rands. And you're like, I saw in my account somebody took 3,000 rands. Who's this person? Did someone hack into my account? You know, and you wouldn't believe it. When you see SARS, you think, no, it can't be SARS. You just think whoever it was. But you're thinking, I had 100,000 rands in my account and they only took 3,000. You could still continue surviving. But now, after they've done that, what other people do, they change the bank account because they're thinking, I know I owe a lot of money. They could come back. Now, when you change the bank account, that's a temporary win, Pamelo, because they can go to an institution called FIC, Financial Intelligence Center, where they get information about all the bank accounts that you have in the country. So now, if you move from bank A to bank B and you're thinking, I've never shared with them or I'll never share with them the details of bank B, they will always find out which bank accounts you have, and they'll come after you. Now, the reason, in most cases, the reason they would freeze your account, you might find that they would have tried all other avenues, and then you ignore them or you try to literally evade, you know, and you're evading with tax, and then they decide then to freeze the account.
So, I mean, how does the man recover? What should be his plan to get back himself, to get himself back on, you know, on the right course with SARS, number one, and obviously with his own finances?
With SARS, it would help, like I said, to pay that small lump sum. The challenge would be, how would we be able to raise that? Because when clients now pay him, everything would be bouncing since the account is frozen. But also maybe he should contact SARS and apply for a new payment arrangement. And then he needs to provide proof that the reason he missed the other payment or the installment, it was just a temporary reason because his client had not paid him on time, you know. But the downside would be now SARS might come with, you know, more strict like conditions to say, okay, initially we had said you could pay us 5,000 rands per month, but now we need you to pay us 8,000 rands per month, you know. So now when they do that, it becomes more steep for him, but he just needs to show, I mean, to be committed to say, okay, I'm willing to pay this 8,000 rand, because now he's desperate for his account to be open. But again, he mustn't commit for the sake of having his bank account open, but just to show that, you know, he's willing to work with SARS and he's willing to, you know, reinstate his tax compliance status. Now, the downside again about the bank account being frozen, that's something that would tarnish the reputation that you have with your bank. because now your banker is sitting and thinking this man cannot or this person cannot plan his financial affairs properly. Now, they might not even help you with a facility. So let's say you're applying for a bank overdraft and they're thinking, if you're not scared of SARS, you know, because, I mean, you're thinking if a person, even with us, you know, when people come to us and they want us to help them with their tax affairs and they come, they have these huge debts. And when you listen to the story, a person says, oh, no, I never submitted tax returns. I hope. And you realize that this person was just negligent. You'd be scared because you're thinking this person was never scared of SARS. Why would they be scared of you as an accountant?
I mean, if we look at the key points to take away for anybody listening, what are those key points?
I would say, you know, when you get correspondence from SARS, make sure that you read it. Do not ignore it, because sometimes you ignore hoping that this is something that's going to disappear. Yes. And then, and the payment arrangements, if you enter into a payment arrangement, be as truthful as possible, you know, to say this is how much I can afford. And you must know it's legally binding. That's why if you default, like with James, he had paid for 3 consecutive months. When he defaulted on the 4th month, they applied to that Section 179 of the Tax Administration Act, where they went straight to the bank, you know, and they even froze his account, because now he was in breach of a legal arrangement. So, and then if you miss a payment, don't wait. Don't wait for SARS to contact you. You need to act immediately, you know, go to them and explain your story, because SARS doesn't just listen to your intentions. They want action. You know, don't say, oh, no, I wanted to pay you, blah, but they want action. So if there's no action, and action is payment reflecting in their system. So if there's no payment from you, they think, okay, you are being negligent. Whereas if you are unable to pay and you act in the form of going to them and inform them, they might listen to you. Now, again, what is important is try to, you know, when you receive the SMSs and you receive the letters and everything, try to read that. If you don't understand, forward to your accountant if you have an accountant, or you can call SARS, you know, because those letters would have a case number or something, you know, a unique reference number where you call them and say, I've received this letter, I don't understand what it means, and then they can help you with that.
I mean, this is one of the things that the 2025 budget speech highlighted, right? That they can find you anyway. You cannot disappear in the system and think you're going to be using Goma e-wallet and whatever the case may be.
You know, those things have become so difficult now, because I tried, I think last week, to pay someone using e-wallet, and now they want details of the person that you're paying. You can't just say, I'm paying P, P 500 rands, and then you don't write the name, P's name in full.
Yes.
And then, so they want the full details, because everybody must be traceable, you know. So, with regards to the 2025 budget speech, they also emphasized that SARS is going to be using data from banks, from mobile wallets, from online platforms. This is to strengthen the collections. Because as you would remember, when there was when the VAT increase was proposed, remember, there was some quantifying of how much the government was going to collect. But when that was retracted, then it meant we still have needs, you know, but then there must be another source,
another way
where we get this money. Yes. Now, that's what now the government is doing. They're going for people who are evading or people who are under declaring.
Okay, we've got a voice note, Busi. Let's just take a listen.
I'm listening to your conversation there with your guest, but I think SARS has got the power to do everything to occupy back their money. But what I find it unfair with them is the fact that whenever they owe you, they can sit for a year and not pay you back. I'm a testimony to that. SARS was owing me a certain amount. They never paid me for the whole year. This year, instead, whatever that I owe, they deducted from that. And then still, even now, they haven't paid me. But whenever they want their money, they want to be paid. They are not fair. And that is where the system, I think, it got rigged. Because of SARS got powers over us. It's not fair what SARS is doing. When they want their money, they do whatever it takes. But when they owe you, you can't do anything with that.
But is that common?
I've heard that because, you know, and the act is also clear. It says if you have a refund that is due to you, the SARS has 21 working days to pay that refund. Mm. What you need to make sure from your side, because you become aware of the refund after you've submitted a tax return, you know, it will issue a notice of assessment to say a refund of whatever is due to you. But sometimes you might find this, the reason the refund is not released, there are certain documents they need from you in order to verify that this refund is indeed due to you. Mm-hmm. So you just need to also visit your profile on e-filing to check if they haven't demanded or asked for any additional relevant material, which is supporting documents. Or sometimes they could be saying you need to go to the branch to verify or to update your banking details. And you're sitting, you're not aware, you know, that you need to update your banking details. And then that could be the reason why the refund is not released. Mm. But otherwise, if the refund is not released and there's nothing that's withholding the refund, it is unfair. Because like he's saying, I mean, if you owe SARS, the debt that will be in your account will be accumulating interest. So I'm thinking now, the same, I mean, if they owe you money, you should be getting it with interest, right? Mm. Because now they are sitting with that money in their account, mm. so you are no longer benefiting, because refund is not money that is given to you because, you know, you are Pemelo. It's money that is due to you because either because you had deductions when you were submitting your tax returns, you know, you'll have gross income and deductions. So you had deductions that were enough to generate a refund. So it's because you had incurred an expense initially. So therefore, it's not a gift to you. It's money that is legally due to you. Yes.
Well, see, it's always lovely talking to you. Maybe perhaps give us an email address where people can get hold of you.
Thank you, Pemelo. It's info@netvest.co.za.
All right. That's CEO of Netvest, Busisiwe Mdletshe, there helping us with our tax matters for today.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.